Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert. I am the founder and host of TalkingWithHeroes.com. And this is our regular Thursday night program that for 11 months now has been dedicated completely to members of the R4 Alliance, www.r4alliance.org. But before we get started, I always like to say to people that are listening for the first time, you can find out about our 9-year talk show history on talkingwithheroes.com/about, just updated it the other day. And then all of our current programs, our last couple, 2 or 3 months programs, you'll find on our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. We also have a new audio and video channel. All the videos from the late April Face of America ride with worldteamsports.org, you'll find them on AmeriStreamLive.com/talkingwithheroes, plus all of the recent audio programs we're doing. We have them all in one place now, thanks to the AmeriStream Live owner, Perry Mano. But as I said in the beginning, for the past 11 months, we've been talking on the air every week with 45 members of the R4 Alliance so far, and we're just getting started. But if you've missed any of those previous Thursday night programs, I just posted a brand new article on our news site. It's on the left column, and it says details about 45 R4 Alliance members, partners, veterans, families, programs. And there's also a brief audio program, one of my rare monologues I did, to talk about each of the members. And it's amazing actually doing that program myself. They're almost all veterans, helping veterans, just like we're going to hear here tonight. So tonight we're going to talk with Jeff Hensley. He's a 25-year Navy fighter pilot and now program counselor for EQuest, Hooves for Heroes, based in Wiley, Texas. We're also going to be talking to Susanna Denny, who left the entertainment industry and now is involved in equine therapy. She became the Veterans Coordinator of EQuest Therapeutic Horsemanship in 2012. Now, they're both at some event right now, so you may hear a little bit of background noise, but they're together there. And so, first of all, I want to thank you both for yours and your family's service to our country. And let's get started. Jeff Hensley and Susanna, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much.
Yep, it's an honor to do all these programs, that's for sure. Well, Jeff, if you don't mind, start out, talk a little bit about yourself, talk about your service in the Navy, some of the things you did in the military, and then what led you to Hooves for Heroes?
Well, I did. My background is actually in fighter aviation. I flew F-14s and T-45s for a little over 21 years with the Navy. Did a couple of combat deployments to Iraq, and it was actually after the last one that I came home and got introduced to equine therapy through my children's experience. They were having some of their own struggles with the fact that I'd been gone so long, and then there was a divorce involved as well, and so I reached out to a counselor to help with them, get a handle on some of the things they were experiencing, and that counselor was working with horses. And so that experience, I think, was so positive for them, really for all three of them, that I started thinking, you know, there's something here, and I want to know more about it. So that's about the time the new GI Bill was getting passed, and I was one of the very first who had to go back to school on it and start working on my master's in counseling. And while I was there, I sort of focused on veterans issues and animal-assisted therapy. The more I did that, the more I got involved in veteran advocacy as well, and found an organization called the Michigan Tenues that challenges post-9/11 veterans to serve in nonprofits in their communities once they come home. So they offer fellowships to go out and volunteer for 20 hours a week for 6 months. And the host nonprofit for me was EQuest. So I came out here and did my fellowship helping Susanna get the Hooves for Heroes program up and running.
Now, I don't know how you do all this stuff, because I just learned more about what you do. But you're also a leadership fellow with Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, IAVA. I mean, I just think they're a great organization. Talk a little bit about that, too.
Yeah, they are a fantastic organization. In fact, I believe they're the most effective veteran service organization out there in helping to really shape the landscape for veterans to be leaders. And my involvement with IAVA started a number of years ago. It was about the same time that I was going to school. And the way that I found out about them was as I –
I'm sorry. Is it windy out there?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I've got a little breeze. I can stand in the corner here, I think, and get out of that.
I appreciate it. Sorry I had to bring it up in the middle of the call, but it was like drowning out your voice. I've done that before though, so that's why I recognize it right away. Anyway, go ahead about IAVA.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually standing out in the Trinity River wetlands out in South Dallas, so it's a little bit there's nature behind me. IAVA, the way that I found out about them was they had spearheaded the new GI Bill. And so, obviously, that bill was very impactful for me. And as I was watching its progress go through Congress, I was also getting introduced to how effective IAVA was. And so I started out following them online, and then I went to one or two events. And before long, I became a member representative, went to Washington, D.C., and lobbied on behalf of other veterans' issues for several years in a row, and then ultimately was asked to be a leadership fellow, which what that means is essentially IAVA's operations here in Texas, I'm generally the one that is responsible for organizing those.
Okay, great. Well, Susanna, why don't you come on the program here and tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you to do what you're doing now.
All right. Well, I was born and raised around horses and into a military family. I'm the only civilian in my family, and went into the entertainment business. And then when a couple of family members got deployed fairly recently, we realized that equine services like this are really super effective for veterans and their family members. So I decided to change my career path and get back involved with horses.
That's great. Well, you definitely have certifications. You're a registered instructor, equine specialist in mental health and learning, and I guess you did that with the goal of working with veterans, right?
Absolutely. Veterans and mental health. Absolutely.
Okay. So talk about the organization and a little bit about what you all do and how people get involved.
All right, well, EQS was founded about 34 years ago, and they have been serving adults and children with all sorts of disabilities through equine activities and therapy. We started the veterans program in 2012, and it's grown to be one of the largest in the country now. And our government organization is PATH International, which is a professional association of therapeutic citizenship. International, and I'm going to let Jeff talk now so I can do a little bit of introduction.
Okay, Susanna's getting paged over there to go put some tack on some horses.
I thought I heard something in the background too, so go ahead.
Yeah, there's we've got our riders getting ready to, they're fixing to jump in class here, and so she's the instructor. What she was saying about the program is the Hoots for Heroes program has grown, you know, truly exponentially over the last few years. You know, we started out in the first year, 2012, we had 5 participants, and in 2013 we were up to I believe 40 something, and in 2014 we were up to over 70, and now this year we've already had over 100 in 2015, and the program has also expanded well beyond just therapeutic riding into we're doing carriage driving, physical therapy on horseback, now mental health counseling, what we call equine facilitated psychotherapy, and even just we have a lot of afternoon events where we just have people come together and do a sort of a shallow dive into horsemanship, getting a chance to get their hands on the horses, do some team building activities with the herd, and to meet each other and sort of build out their social network as well.
Okay, now, are you doing this on a ranch, or What is your, where do you bring people?
Well, we have two facilities, actually. Most recently, we opened up a second facility in Dallas. And, yeah, they are ranches. The facility in Dallas sits on about 40 acres. It has, three different arenas and some round pens. It's got some trails you out riding, some pastures to ride as well. The second facility in Dallas is actually sitting on almost 400 acres, and it has so several large arenas, as well as we're not quite sure how many miles of paths. We just know that there's a whole bunch of them, and since we're brand new to this place, we're kind of discovering it as we get more acclimated here. But it's going to be something that is just an amazing facility. And, you know, the funny thing about it is, Bob, it's really surreal. You'll be out there riding around the Trinity River area through these woodlands, very beautiful woodlands, and then all of a sudden you'll crest a ridgeline, and you'll see the skyline of Dallas, and it reminds you how close we are to the city. It's really weird.
Wow. That's neat. So how does your program work? Let's say I'm a veteran listening right now. What kind of experience can I look forward to?
Well, it's really up to the individual. Like I mentioned, we have a number of different services, all involving working with horses. It's all part of what we call equine activities and therapies. But a lot of us, our veterans come to us with differing needs. You know, we'll have some that are looking for a place, a safe, serene, calm, peaceful place that, you know, they can carve out for themselves, maybe to work on some self-awareness issues. And, you know, there may not be any place like that in the other parts of their life. For some, the draw is absolutely it's working with horses. You know, they want to know more about them. They want to learn how to master a new skill and, you know, maybe remind themselves that there are new things they can do and that their best years weren't spent when they were in the military. For quite a few that they sometimes get pushed by some of their significant others or the people in their lives where they're hoping that working with the horses out here will improve their human relationships, and they most certainly do. You know, horses are incredibly sensitive animals. They are really come to you without an agenda, without a hidden agenda, without an ulterior motive, and you're not able to talk yourself into a relationship with them. The only way that you can connect in an authentic way is by being emotionally vulnerable and authentic. And that's really the key of intimacy. So that, the transferability of that to human relationships is just huge. And then for almost everybody that comes to us, to some extent, they're looking for a way to connect with a community of people who are mutually invested in each other's self, their well-being. And so they find that here, and it just so happens to be that we're doing this in the company of horses and working with horses, but there's a huge fellowship and community component to it.
Yeah, I've noticed that in many of the organizations with our Four Alliance, that community part to it. I know my daughter and her husband and the children went to a Project Sanctuary camping retreat for military families. And that's one of the things they loved about it. Matter of fact, some of the families there, they stayed friends 2 years, 2 years later. You know, they keep in touch. Do you see that happening a lot?
Well, oh, absolutely. In fact, it's one of the pieces of the program I think that we have been most gratified to see is these connections that are made here. They're first made out at the ranch working with the horses, and then they continue on in a lot of other ways. And you know, we talked a little bit about some of the other veteran service organizations that I've been involved with. Well, we also partner with them at Equest, and so it provides another alternative or another opportunity for these relationships to continue. Now, I'm sorry, I've got our large 17-hand draft horse walking right past me. You probably hear his big dinner plate feet, walking.
Yeah, I do. I hear it.
I've got to get out of the way because he's 1,200 pounds and I'm about 180.
Good idea.
That fellowship extends into some of these other veteran service organizations. And we found that it's a fantastic way for the folks that come to us to continue those connections and also to be dialed into continuing leadership opportunities in the community, because they come to us and very often they start feeling better, they start feeling more confident, and once they get to that point, they start looking for a way to serve. And so these are partner organizations are offering them opportunities to do that, to serve again in the civilian world.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the things, speaking of that, one of the things I hear a lot on these programs is veterans on the program, some of them had gotten involved initially getting help themselves, you know, and then wanted to give back. And so it's veterans helping veterans. Do you see a lot of that? I mean, you're a good example.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, we do. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when we first started this program about 3 years ago, we started telling people about it and getting the word out there in the veteran space. And we would get like three or four calls from veterans wanting to be volunteers for every single call that we had from one wanting to be a participant. So everybody wanted to be a helper. Nobody wanted to be helped. And, you know, we kind of figured that, well, there may be something going on there. And so we've always given assessment instruments measuring anxiety and quality of life for our participants. But we started giving them to the veteran volunteers that were coming out, too. And the interesting thing was that when you took away any identifying information, the distribution of those scores was the same for the volunteers and for the participants. So we knew that there was something going on. There was a value that everybody was taking out of being a part of this program. And I think that that has sort of blurred the lines between who's a participant and who's a volunteer, and it's made it more a program about veterans coming together to in a search for better wellness. And that's exactly
right.
What we have seen. Right.
So talk a little bit about being a member of R4 Alliance. I mean, I've been amazed to see how fast this alliance has grown. When they first contacted me 11 months ago, there were 19 members, and now there's over 60.
Yeah. Well, they are absolutely performing a hugely important service. You know, there's a lot of programs like ours out there that I think kind of in the mainstream consciousness, we are alternative therapies, and oftentimes the connotation with alternative therapies is, you know, they're kind of out there and there's no evidence to support them, and, you know, they're just out there playing with ponies or, you know, doing whatever some of the other R4 Alliance members are doing. But the truth is that R4 is allowing us an opportunity to truly educate people on the value of these experiential alternative types of therapy, because there is a huge need for programs like ours and like the other members of the Alliance out there. In fact, huge. When you think about the fact that almost 50% of veterans, post-9/11 veterans, aren't even registered with the VA, then you start to get a handle on just how important it is to find a program that does connect with them and does, you know, offer some way to navigate this transition into civilian life.
That's great. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. So let's say I'm a veteran listening, and what would I do to get involved? First of all, maybe share your website address, maybe how they can contact you on social media, but what do they do in your website to get started?
Well, really the first thing to do is just, you know, go check it out at www.equest.org, and we've got a drop-down menu that talks about the Hoods for Heroes program. They can find us. We're all over social media. We love to tell our story. We're on Facebook. Both Equest has a Facebook page and Equest Hoods for Heroes. We're on Twitter at Hoods4Heroes. And we're on Instagram as well at Hoods4Heroes. And so, you know, I would encourage them to go read a little bit about the program, see some of the pictures and the videos, and see if it looks like it's something that interests them. And if it is, then I would suggest that they, you know, they reach out to me at jhensley@equest.org or my partner Susanna at sdenny@equest.org, and just tell us they're interested. We have these afternoon horsemanship 101 events, you know, at least once, usually twice a month, which is an opportunity for them to kind of come out. It's a low commitment, but it's a lot of fun, and they can find out if this is the kind of program they want to get more involved in.
I know this is probably way too head, but it's been going through my brain, so I guess I'll ask it. Do you think you'll have a program around Thanksgiving? And I'll tell you off the air some other time why I'm asking, but...
Do I think we'll have a program? You mean will we have be doing some type of service provision around Thanksgiving, or are you asking me will our program
right.
still be alive at Thanksgiving?
No, whether you have one of your programs around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we,
really?
In fact, this session, well, the semester of horseback riding and carriage driving begins in September, early September. And that usually extends for a full 10 weeks. And so it'll take us all the way through the holidays, all the way through Thanksgiving and right up until the Christmas holidays. So, yeah, you bet we will. Are you going to be in Dallas?
Let's talk about that. I'm planning a number of trips. I got a couple months of rehab to come up here now from surgeries, but I'm planning a couple trips, and one of them is to San Antonio around Thanksgiving. And Dallas is not that big a jump away if there's, I'm coming down with veterans. And my brother's a veteran.
That'd be fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
I mean, let's talk about it because we can absolutely get them out here, and we would love to.
Okay. That would be really cool. Definitely. Okay, well, I appreciate, you coming on the air tonight. Is there anything else you'd like to say to veterans listening or overall to the American people? Because you probably can benefit from help, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're a nonprofit, and so like most nonprofits, we exist because of the support of, people who care about veterans and care about horses. And, I guess the thing that I want to send out to everybody is we in programs like ours are hopefully helping to change the narrative about who veterans are when they come back. Veterans, we were leaders in uniform. We'll be leaders in civilian life again if we can figure out a way to navigate this transition in the civilian life. And so it's programs like ours who are really making that navigating that that transition possible and doing it successfully. So they come out, they support us, and they are really making an investment in the future leadership of this country.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that because you know that firsthand. Is Susanna back or is she out?
I'm here.
She.
Oh, okay.
As you can hear now that I've unmuted my phone, I'm right next to a horse.
Okay.
Out on the Trinity Trail.
What would you like to add, or in closing, what would you like to say to people, maybe about veterans getting involved or people helping you?
We have all sorts of opportunities for people to help, both directly with the horses and in our facilities. We have administrative tasks. We have something for everyone. We would love to have them here in South Dallas or out in Washington. Horses are great for everyone.
Great. It didn't come across very well, but that's okay. I think I got the gist of what everybody else probably did too. Sorry about that. I don't know what we were hearing in the background with Jeff. Was it the horse or?
Yeah, they're actually walking down there through the trails and are just picking you. And so they probably as they get over to that side of the arena, there's a breeze that's blowing through. And so I think that that's what you're hearing in the background.
Okay. I appreciate you being on the program tonight, and thank you for all that you're doing. Hopefully we can do more to help over time. And would you like to give a shout-out to our men and women who are serving right now? I mean, having been deployed numerous times yourself, we have people deployed in areas where they could even be in harm's way, too.
Indeed. And, our thoughts and prayers go out to each and every one of them and their families back here at home. And I'd just like those men and women to know that when they come back, they've got a community out here that loves them and is ready to embrace them and ready to help hold their hand moving into that next phase of life.
Great. Susanna, do you want to do the same thing, give a shout-out?
I think she's actually classes started, and she was giving me the cut signal, so I don't know if she's not going to be able to talk anymore.
Cut the program.
I think she would echo that symptom. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you, Jeff, very much, and to Susanna. I appreciate all you're doing, and I've been hearing a lot since I've been involved with R4 Alliance about equine therapy, and I'm actually looking forward now to seeing, you know, being there and seeing what's happening. So, but thank you very much. I'll let you get back to your event there, and I'm sure we'll be talking more soon.
Yeah, and thank you, Bob, and thank you for everything you do to promote the R4 Alliance, too. It's very much appreciated.
Absolutely. That's an honor to do it. I enjoy it. Thank you very much. Well, folks, you've been hearing again on our regular Thursday night program another member of R4 Alliance, .org. Again, if you want to find out more about some of these other organizations, the programs we've been doing, just go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us, and just look for that article about R4 Alliance members. We just did that actually just a couple weeks ago, put it all together. I also want to mention before we close that we have another program we've been doing now. There's six of them now so far. I love doing call-in programs from the soldiers. And since I haven't been able to go back to Iraq and Afghanistan again, we've done some of that over the last 3 years. For the last, I think it's like 4 or 5 months now, we've had soldiers from 3BCT, 25th Infantry Division, based at Schofield Barracks, calling in on programs. And just a week or so ago, we had another call come in from Australia from Colonel Kelly and his counterpart, Lieutenant Colonel McGann with the Australian Army. And it's really neat what they're sharing. They're telling people what's really not being heard much by the American people from the regular news media. And so if you get a chance, check those programs out. We did another group article on Thank You for Your Service that's going to list all their programs too. And so appreciate it. So I want to thank all of our veterans and their your families, all active duty military and your families. Thank you for your service. And from me to all of our men and women who are serving right now, maybe in harm's way, be safe, stay alert. We look forward to you coming back to your families, to our country, to your country. God bless you. God bless America.